Yes, I am. Yeah, okay, good. Psalm 144. Thank you. There we go. Psalm 144, verse 11 to 15. Good to see you, folks. Thank you for coming. Good to have you this evening. Psalm 144, verse 11 to 15. I'll give you a second to find it. We're almost through the book of Psalms 4 years later. Amen. All right, when you found it, would you please stand? Psalm 144, verse 11 to 15. And God's word says, beginning in verse 11 of chapter 144 of the book of Psalms, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people. Happy is such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And tonight, going to preach on a simple thought, chain reactions. Have a word of prayer, and you can be seated. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. I pray, help give me the words to say, Lord. I pray that you'd help bless this service. Be with it, Lord. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for the privilege we have to come before you. Give me the words to say, Holy Spirit. I need your heart desperately tonight. Help me give me the words. Also, we ask in your name. Amen. God bless you, folks. You can be seated. I apologize. I think I misquoted verse 15. It said, happy is that people that is in such a case. I apologize. I said that word wrong. Is as opposed to in. I did it right. All right. Looking at the message here tonight, chain reaction. Some of you might have heard of something known as the butterfly effect. A fictitious thought such as this. A bird flaps its wings in a country in Africa. It causes an apple to fall. The apple on the ground inspires a painter to paint a picture of that apple. That painting is then sold to an American art company who puts it up for sale at a storefront in New York City. A person one day is leaving work during the noon hour in New York City and is headed to pick up their mother for lunch. On their way to the car, they see the painting of that apple, which causes them to forget about the lunch with mom and go inside the store to look at the painting. When they finally get their wits back and realize they forgot about mom, they try to run to the car, realizing they're late. They try to go really fast. They speed. They break the law. They go through a red light. An officer pulls them over and gives them a $100 ticket for running a red light. So basically, this $100 fine was all because of a chain reaction that was started by a bird that flapped its wings in Africa months earlier and millions of miles away. Interesting. Anybody heard of the butterfly effect before? Okay, that's kind of an interesting story. But anyway, it's kind of very fictitious, but it paints a kind of an interesting illustration on something known as a chain reaction. Something affects something else, which affects something else. So this evening, looking at this thought of a chain reaction, I want to show you a more simplistic one that's found here in Psalm 144. For starters, let's look at verse 7 to 8 if we can. Look at Psalm 144, verses 7 to 8. We did not read that in the beginning, but I want to go there for kind of a way of introduction before we get into this chain reaction thought. Verse 7 to 8 says, "Send thine hand from above, rid me, and deliver me out of great waters. From the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood." Now look at verse 11. "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood." If you're reading those three verses, you probably saw some comparisons there. Pretty much from the phrase, from the hand of strange children on, those two verses or those three verses are very closely related to one another. Almost the same sayings, word for word, about releasing them or removing them from the hand of strange children. The point being, when we see verses repeated, it shows emphasis. It shows emphasis. And here we are. The author, the human pen, is David. You know that in verse 1. He's crying out God twice in verses 7 to 8 and verse 11 to deliver him. And he asked for deliverance from the strange children. Kind of an odd way of saying it. And obviously God has a reason for everything he does. But I should say an interesting way of saying a better word. It's kind of interesting a word of choice of words that God uses to deliver him from those strange children. Now, here's where the chain reaction starts. Look at verse 11 one more time. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. So again, we see that David is asking to keep God to keep him away from those people. And I'll get more into who those people are in a moment. But to keep away from those people who are speaking lies and nonsense and acting deceitfully and wickedly. Now, if you look at the beginning of verse 12, the chain reaction here. It says at the beginning of verse 12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. Look at the middle of verse 12. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. The beginning of verse 13. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. The middle of 13. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. The beginning of verse 14. That our oxen may be strong to labor. And then the middle of 14. That there be no breaking in nor going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. The point I'm trying to make here, if you see that word that, every time I mention those phrases in verse 11 to 14, referring to, it begins with the word that. And the word that, in this case, refers to a specific thing previously mentioned. So you're saying, Pastor, what's the chain reaction you're talking about here? The chain reaction here is that David asked God to remove him from those strange children, which means when that happens, when God removes him as he's asking from from those strange children, the chain reaction is that all of those phrases that begin with that, all those positive things will come to pass or be preserved. So one thing happens, he begs God, remove him from those strange children, and the result or the reaction is all those that's over there in verses 12 to 14. And those are good things. Man, he's removed, if he gets away from those strange children, man, their daughters may be as cornerstones. Their sons may be plants grown up in their youth. The garners may be full. Our sheep may bring forth thousands. Our oxen may be strong to labor. There be no breaking in or going out, so on and so forth. So the point, again, I'm trying to make here is simply that he says, listen, God, I need your movies from these strange, I don't want to be around these strange children. I want to get away from them because I know if I can get away from these people, the reaction is I'm going to get blessed. I'm going to have the preservation of my life. I'm going to stay away from the wickedness if you were of these strange children. David has enough sense. He's not a fortune teller, but he knows the future, realizing if I stay around these people, it's going to be for naught. It's going to be for my demise. It's going to hurt me. Are you with me on what I'm saying tonight, folks? Listen, and that's what he's talking about here. So now let me just kind of touch on this matter of the strange children. What does the Lord mean by strange children? Because that's such a unique phrase. Well, let's break it on down. That word strange means foreign, alien, not a part of your group. Take your Bible, keep your fingers in Psalm 144. Go to Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1. Leviticus 10 and verse 1, if you would. Leviticus 10 and verse 1. It says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Here we have two young men, two boys, who were sons of Aaron. They were Levites. Their role in life was to help their dad in serving God and dealing with the sacrifices and the offerings to the Lord. And they offered incense of fire, which God or he commanded them not. This fire was strange fire. It was fire that was outside of the realms of what God would consider acceptable. It was strange. It was not a good thing. It was strange fire. And so, going back to Psalm 144, these strange children were people who were outside of the realm of being what you would consider people of God. They weren't accepted in the sense they were aliens, spiritually speaking. They were foreigners. They were people who did not follow the things of God. Now, what about children? Is he referring to sons and daughters? Like if you're a parent, you have children? I don't believe that's what he means when he says children here in these verses. I can't say 100%, but I believe, looking at the context, I don't believe he's referring to young boys and girls, if you would. I believe if you look at the children, if you would, if what he's referring to is a large group. Have you ever heard the phrase children of Israel? If you read the Bible, you'll find over 600 times that phrase is mentioned in the Bible. Children of Israel. It's not referring to boys and girls. It's referring to a large group of people, I shouldn't say just referring to boys, but obviously children involved in that are included in that group, but it's referring to a large group of people in this situation who are known as the people of Israel or the children of Israel. So I believe when he says strange children, referring to a large group of people. And David says, God, deliver me from these strange children, these people who do not follow your word, people who are not caught up in your word, people who are foreigners or aliens, spiritually speaking. They don't follow what's right, if you will. Now, my friend, listen, I am not a conspiracy theorist, but there is a group of people out there, a majority, who are promoting ideas and thoughts that are strange, that are not of the things, that are of the things of this world. And if you don't believe me, go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, if you would. Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14. There is a large, large, large group of people who are promoting ideas and thoughts that are strange. They are not of the Lord, but are of this world. Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14. Says this, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. What am I talking about here? Listen, my friend, the majority or the group I'm referring to are the people known as the lost, those who are not saved. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. We know, according to those verses, the majority will not go to heaven. Now, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, don't misunderstand me, my friend. Our job as Christians is to tell the lost world about Christ, have a burden for the unsaved, so that by God's grace we can see people saved. Please, please, please do not misunderstand me. Again, let me just give you Luke 11:33 just to make sure you're not misunderstanding me. But Luke 11:33 says this, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, either under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. We're supposed to have the light of Christ. We're supposed to win the lost. We're supposed to carry these things around like a bunch of seed and disperse them everywhere. That is our responsibility. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say, please. We need to have a burden for lost, because the Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, the Muslims will not tell them the way to heaven. We have the answer. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. What I'm simply saying is this. We as born-again Christians are not the majority. We are the minority. And there is an idea, if you will. There is a thought process, a lost thought process. I call it the things of this world. And that is the majority. And if I make the application, when David says to deliver him from the strange children, if I can put the application for today's vernacular, if I can make the application for 2020, it's almost like someone says, hey, God, please keep me from the things of this world. Please keep me from the strange things, the teachings, the thoughts, the religions of this world. Be careful. Some of you remember the story, the illustration I gave back two Christmases ago about over there in the Secretary of State's office in Springfield, when they had all the different religions were putting their different Christmas displays. Some Christian-based churches, I'm putting the quotes now, Christian-based churches had the manger scene up. The Jewish-based religions had the menorah. And then over here, there was a Church of Satan. I'm not sure if it went out this past Christmas. And they had their, whatever you want to call it, display up. with the arm of the woman out holding the apple, and the serpent wrapped around her arm, sitting there in the Secretary of State's office, saying, knowledge is our greatest gift. There is a religion out there, my friend, I promise you. There's a thought process out there, I promise you, it's called the things of this world. And David was wise to say to God, God, deliver me. If it's a chain reaction, everything in David's life was at stake. I think he understood. He said, God, deliver me so I can have the blessings for my son, have the blessings for my daughter, have the blessings on my life to preserve my life. David knew, if you can help me be delivered from these strange children, my life will be preserved. But on the flip side of that, if I can use the antithesis to that, we understand, my friend, if he was not delivered, if he hung around the strange children, if he got caught up in their doctrine, their ideals, he knew the whole future was at risk. It was all going to be, he knew he could lose everything if he wasn't delivered. Wise is the Christian who understands that things of this world are not of God. And by the way, David gives the impression that he cannot do it by himself because he says twice in verse 7, 8, and 11, deliver me. God, would you please cannot do this on my own. I'm hearing the story of a famous evangelist. I'm not going to mention his name. You all would know him. Every person here would know him. He's in heaven today. But he used to stand in front of thousands of people, and he used to put his hands in there and say, come on, old slew face, or whatever you call him, referring to Satan. I'll take you on. The foolish thing we can do. Greater is he that is in you than he as well. We are no match for Satan. Our flesh cannot handle the things of this world, the things of Satan. We need God's help. Deliver me from the strange children. You've heard the cliche, if you mess with fire, you're going to get burned. Why do Christians dabble around with the things of this world? Why do we do that? Why do we mess around in a situation where we know that the things of this world are going to destroy us, yet we play with it like it's like a ball of candy. We don't realize our whole future is at stake, spiritually speaking. So let me give you a few ways to take God's help in keeping us from the strange children, from the things of this world. Number one, a few simple things. You've heard it many times before. Number one, somebody says, obey his commandments. Follow the Bible. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29 and verse 33. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29 and verse 33, if you would. He says this, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them. And listen how the verse ends. This is what caught me. And with their children forever. We keep our kids away from drugs. We beg God to keep away from alcohol. We ask God to keep away from the pornography. Yet we dabble around with different types of sins and we stay away from God and we promote that to our children. Oh, it's okay to miss church. It's okay to forget about the things of God. Well, you know how you can do this, you do that. It's okay to do this, that. It's okay to watch that on TV, play that video game. Yeah, he says here, oh, that there was such a heart in them. God said, oh, that they had a heart for me. It would fear me and keep all my commands. Verse 33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in a land which ye shall possess. Have a good, long life. Again, I understand. That's not always quantity. Is quality. And I remember hearing a preacher saying, so he said, he was preaching a message and talking about this very thought of people criticizing him or criticizing because they'd known other good Christians who had died early. They died younger in their years, if you would. And I remember he was being criticized. He said, listen, he said, so-and-so might have died at a younger age, but they lived such a full life make it a little, they put 80 years into 40 or 60 years into 30. So much truth to that. He may prolong your days in the land which he shall possess. Look, I preach over and over again to obey. I'm talking to myself like I'm talking to you tonight. Obey God's word. But listen, my friend, obeying God's word is not just some action we do for the sake of doing it, but our very futures are at stake. We've got to obey his word. We cannot afford not to. Look, the pull is so strong. And that's where it comes down to. A lot of times we think, well, it's no big deal. I can mess around with things in the world. It's not a big deal. You can't mess. Sin will take you farther than you want to go and cost you more than you want to pay. I promise you it will. But when we obey God's word, the blessings are there for us and our children. God can prolong our days, give us a life filled with peace. Number one, obey his commands. Number two, stay separated from the world. Go to 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, if you would. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. This is for, wait a second to find it. It says this, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. We know this man Demas. He was one of the men at one time who was with Paul, and Paul a couple times greeted Demas, because Demas, if you would, you had the impression Demas was a godly man in the sense where he was with Paul, he was serving God with Paul, and Paul had enough respect for Demas to put his name in there, greet Demas. But here it's a negative. Demas hath forsaken me. Why did he forsake Paul? Because he loved this present world. Folks, listen, we're not immune to it. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says this, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There is a word that is a help to us. It's called separation. Separated from the world, separated unto God. Years ago, back when the gold rush happened a long time ago here in this country, many people were searching for gold, and at one time people were looking for gold, and there was a time when people had brought gold and get a lot of money for it. But after a while, they started bringing found different minerals and things that looked just like gold, but it ended up becoming known as fool's gold. There was a bunch of minerals, several minerals. One is known as chalcopyrite. The other one was pyrite. Another one was a different situation, like a weathered mica. And these different minerals, they appear to look like gold. They look just like actual gold, these minerals. But the problem is, when you touch them, they flake, they powder, they crumble when poked with a metal point, whereas gold itself will gouge or indent like soft lead. This fool's gold, it looks just like gold, but the problem is when you actually touch it and get around, you realize it's not gold. Usually at that time, it's too late. A simple thought God has to stay away from the things of the world. Don't even touch it. I remember Pastor Gomez made a statement. I'll never forget what he said when I was in Bible college. He said, you know what? I praise God I was saved out of this world. Meaning, I praise God at 21 years old, living a wicked life. I got on my knees and I trusted Christ as my born again, as my Savior. Yeah, born again Christian. I was saved out of this world. I remember tears coming down his cheeks. He said this, but I really wish my testimony was, I was saved from this world. I wish I never got caught up in any of that junk. I wish I never had the regret, the consequences, things that sin brings. I wish I had a testimony that would be, I don't have that horrible life type of situation where all the regrets. And praise God for those of us who were saved that maybe older in life, maybe you're saved that in our 20s or 30s or 40s, and God saved us and he cleaned us up, and he can do that. Praise God, he can clean us up. But I believe if you're honest, and maybe I'm wrong here, maybe I'm way off mark, but maybe if you're honest, I would think you say, I wish, oh God, I wish I was saved at 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 years old. I wish I didn't have those regrets, those consequences, those skeletons in the closet. I wish I didn't get caught up in the sins of this world. I believe every Christian who was saved later in life would love to have that testimony. Demas, as a Christian, I believe he's a saved man, possibly. Loved this present world and left the things of God. Don't know it. Stay separated from it. Stay away from it. And finally, last one, we're done with this. Kind of alluded to this already in the beginning. Keep the mindset that you cannot make it without God. I cannot make it without God. Psalm 144, verse 11. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children. Having a dependency on God's word and needing the things of God is the safest way. Oh God, give me a hunger for your word. Give me a desire for the things of God. Now look, I understand we're human. There'll be times where we're not going to read our Bible. There are times we get up in the morning. Or we're in times where we're tired and going to church is a drudgery. Maybe, again, I'm the only carnal one in here, being the pastor. Amen. But obviously, the times where we're not going to want to be in our Bible to pray. But those times will be few and far between. And we still should get in our Bibles regardless. Get in church regardless. Be faithful to things of God regardless, my friend. But listen to me, if you would, this evening. Ask God, God, give me a love for your word. Give me a love for the things of you. Give me a dependency on it where I need it, I yearn for it, I want it more than anything else. Make it like my necessary food. That's a safe way to live, my friend. Because when you understand you need God's word, you need the things of God, that's a safe way to live. It keeps you close to God. So wrapping it up this evening, a chain reaction happens based on how we deal with the strange children. The things of this world. If I can go back one last time to Psalm 144. If I could reverse what David said. If he said, God, please don't deliver me from the hands of the strange children. If that's the case, and verse 12 might read, that our sons won't be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may not be cornerstones. That our garners may be empty. That our sheep may die of disease. That our oxen may be weak and not be able to labor. That there be complaining in our streets. The people are unhappy. By the way, my friend, turn on the 6 o'clock news. Very often, you don't hear a lot of positive, a lot of negativity. Things in this world never bring positive, always negativity. I don't know about you, but the chain reaction happens when we say, God, deliver me from things in this world. Keep me away from it. Keep me separated from it. Help me obey your word and keep me a dependency on your precious word. That chain reaction, I'll promote the things of God. I'll give us a long life. Those senior saints who made the decision young age to live for God in the 80s and 90s, like Brother Miller mentioned, he was talking about one of the men that was mentioned tonight, John Nelson. Miller mentioned him at the prayer time. A godly man, Brother Nelson was, be a blessing to him. I don't know Brother Nelson, but based on Brother Miller's testimony, that was a godly man. Is a godly man, excuse me. If that is the case, I believe Brother Nelson, if he was here tonight and he had to give his testimony, I believe there'd be no regrets from him. I believe he'd say, praise God, I said at a younger age, God, deliver me from the hands of the strange children, from the things of this world. And years later, here he is, dealing with a stroke and Parkinson's, and we have no idea how much time is left, that dear brother. But he knows where he's going. I believe he has no regrets, I'm sure. No consequences, and be thankful. He made that prayer a long time ago, deliver me. Where are you, my friend? Are you dabbling? Or do you want to be delivered? Are you dabbling in things of this world? Or do you want to be delivered from it? Or yeah, let me ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes.